Hey, stupid nerds. Download the Boogie Monster with Kyle Kinane and Dave Stone. So you can find out what happened to Frankenstein and the Wolfman and all that fictional stuff that never happened. And don't pay attention to World War II or the American flag or important things.
The Boogie Monster. Podcasting the unknown.
Oh, great way to forge a career in comedy.
Mm-hmm. What's going on, bud?
That's funny. Well, I did a show at an art gallery Friday night. Mm-hmm. And again, I don't know what... I'm not... I think art can be hilarious. Mm-hmm. Like, you can laugh at stuff in a museum, and that's okay. Like, how dare somebody shush you for interpreting art as being humorous? It's up to the viewer. But like also somebody was selling collages,
uh-huh.
Somebody else's shit glued together for like $3,000.
Wow.
And I don't know if is that arrogance on the part of an artist or just, I'm going to go fishing and just see if some dipshit wants to buy it. Like, who's the fool? The artist for pricing it that much or the person buying it?
That's a great question. Yeah, I don't know anything about art, but just cutting shit out of... I mean, that's what I did in high school. My whole bedroom wall was just a big collage of Jeeps and football players and Pantera guitars.
Yeah, it was a vision board.
Uh-huh. But, like, yeah, to pass that off as art and to try to sell it...
But I think that's where I'm like, oh, maybe that's what the real art project is. Is not the piece itself, but the artist going, some fucking idiot paid me $3,000 for these two pages of a People magazine I stuck together with a glue stick and then painted over a little.
Hmm.
And I think that's the real art, is getting together with the other artists going, I scammed another idiot.
I mean, there's
documentaries about it too, just about how like art is money laundering, and nobody knows how much art should be valued.
Yeah. You ever been artistic in that way?
What, a scam artist? I mean, artist is part of is the second part of that term.
No, but in the traditional sense, I think you're an artist. You're an artist with words.
Oh, Kyle. Yes, I paint with language.
But can you paint or draw? Have you ever had any interest in that?
Yeah, I mean, all through high school, I thought I was going to go into art. Like, I was good at drawing. I was never great at, like, the other mediums of art.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't really. And it was just something I, like doodling turned into, oh, you're not bad at this. And when you're kind of directionless in high school, you're like, I guess here's the one thing I'm remotely good at that I kind of enjoy doing. So I guess I'll just do this. But then I didn't know where to go after that. Because it's one of those things, well, oh, you like art. You could either study to be a fine artist, and that's the elitist, you know, the elite. Like a buddy who's a fine art painter, like oil painter, and he's amazing, like photorealism oil paintings, and he sells stuff to galleries. But he's also was a graphic designer. Like everybody, you just get funneled into graphic design, applicable art.
Hmm.
And I was like, well, I don't care about that. And also, this was like 1994, so it wasn't even like working with a light table. Like, they taught us to do marker renderings. I don't know if you ever saw, like, how old ads of, like, it was always, like, a car or a drink were the hardest things. You'd take markers, like, almost like highlighters, but in every different color to paint, like, a glass of whiskey with ice in it or to draw, marker it.
Huh.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. I think I know what you're talking about.
So that was what graphic design was before, was make this car look cool. But, I mean... Before they would go photograph it, because I guess it was cheaper to hire somebody to draw a car in the ad the way you'd want it before photographing it. I like doing that. I like the result, but I was like, nah, I don't think I'm going to do this for a living.
Yeah.
What about you?
Yeah. No, I've always wanted to. I've I used to try to draw and quickly learned. I mean, I just have zero talent for it. But I would. I see the appeal of having like a, is it an easel? Is it an Etzel or an easel?
One's that's an easel. Etzel, I believe, okay. is a vehicle.
Okay, yeah. An easel. I've always wanted to do some Bob Ross shit.
Etzel, yeah.
You know, stand outside and paint a tree or something. That seems peaceful and cathartic. I get that. But yeah, I don't know anything about good art as far as like I knew guys that could draw great, like comic book style or like M.C. Escher type style. But then you see other art in a museum and, you know, the old cliche of like, well, shit, I could have done that or a kid could have done that. And maybe they could, maybe they couldn't. I'm sure in those examples, there's a lot of stuff going on that maybe I don't notice or that's above my head. But you look at some stuff and your knee-jerk reaction is that it looks like a child painted it. And then you look at something else and like that a real artist or like the comic book style stuff's like, okay, there's no way in a million years I could do that. But over here, yeah, I could paint some squiggly lines, some different colors. But we've got a buddy who's turned into an artist.
Who's turned into an artist?
Oh, Rory Scovel is painting and selling his paintings.
Really?
So yeah, there you go, Rory.
What do they look like? I'm looking them up right now.
Well, nah, I don't want to again. See, I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about. You know that
where,
might.
Where
be,
do you see him at? Where are they at?
On his Instagram. He's sold a few pieces. But yeah.
I'm into this kind of thing because this is exact. I thought like, you know what? I would like to just start doing some painting and it would be not unlike this. Like, you know what? I look at what he's painting and it puts me at ease. I feel good about it. The colors that make me feel happy. And then what are you supposed to have outside of that?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
You know, why does it have to, why does the painting have to be like the best? What am I trying to say? If you look at the painting and that painting makes you happy or makes you feel something, isn't that the only, then the art did its job regardless of what it is? Like, I always thought like the here's the squiggly lines or here's a blank canvas with a dot on it. People being confused. Maybe that's what the artist wants to do. Maybe the art, like hearing the artist go like, yeah, I like that people walked into a museum expecting some Rubenesque half naked lady laying on a fainting lounge. And I just painted a dot and it pissed people off. I wanted to do that. I wanted you to rethink of what kind of art could I, cause that's the whole thing. I could have done that, but you didn't. Somebody else did it first.
True. Yeah, but isn't that the same as, like, couldn't you take that approach to stand-up? Like, yeah. I know Kinane's up there telling these well-crafted, interesting stories with a bunch of funny lines in them, but I'm going to go up there and burp the alphabet, and yes. I'm also a comedian.
And if it's not my comedy, but somebody – I got – like, listen, I still laugh at the Jackass movies. Probably harder than I've ever laughed at a stand-up. I've laughed at a guy pouring champagne down his asshole. So what? I mean, it's once you get into like now when it's derivative, when it's like, oh, look at this, look at these kids doing the same thing they saw in Jackass. No, that's not funny. It was funny because those guys did it first. It's stupid, but they did it first. They shot bottle rockets out of their ass first. If you just did it now and videotaped it, you look like a fucking moron.
Yeah.
I mean, Josh Fadem, who people know as the cameraman from Better Call Saul, the smug, bespectacled cameraman, I think there's a video called 3 minutes of Josh falling down. He would do these pratfalls and he would do them like it scared everybody. Like it was funny, but you got scared for him. And that was great. Cause I had seen the act now to watch an audience get nervous for the performer and how much he's falling down. That's part of the whole show. It's like Neil Hamburger or Guar or something, watching somebody else watch Guar for the first time.
Yeah.
So watching somebody not understand art to me is also the art. We're talking about Rory Scovel go on stage talking a German accent for no reason.
Yeah.
And watching somebody else going, what the fuck is he doing? Like, that's part of the fun.
Oh, man.
That's my take on it.
I'm going to start painting some shit.
Paint, dude.
We'll see. Yeah.
Be like Daniel Johnston or one of these outsider artists.
Yeah.
Old house husband Dave. started painting art, started depicting his struggles with oil and canvas. This is my Subaru. I like it a lot.
Oh, my struggles. Yeah, man, I got some different type of struggles these days. Isn't that just the
original? Yeah, that's the original cameo, is artists that start doing a different type of art for sale.
Mm-hmm. Oh, boy. Speaking of the Subaru, I put like 300 miles just this week. I've taken it out every day with no... I've had almost nothing to do this week in terms of errands or reason to drive. But, yeah, just out putzing around, man. I'm loving it.
Good for you, man.
Yeah.
Go putz.
Getting new speakers on Wednesday.
Doing speakers?
Yeah, I'm excited about that. Speakers and amp, and they talked me into a subwoofer.
Oh boy, you're going big now. Where's that subwoofer going to go? Is that going to cut into your storage space?
It's going to run free in the back, and they were going to do a bracket, and I was like, no, let's don't do a bracket. I'm just going to bungee it. Just going to bungee it down in the back, and then that way I can move it when I need to move it. Going to get some early 90s bass heavy hip hop.
I was going to say a subwoofer and bungee cords seems to be counterintuitive.
Yeah. Well, like the cords are going to affect the acoustics?
Well, I think part of having the speaker mounted is that the speaker... I'm talking out my ass entirely right now.
The guy said, he's like, yeah, it's real heavy. Like, he's like, it's not going to slide around a lot. Yeah. He's like, I wouldn't recommend mounting it. I'm like, well, yeah, I don't know. But it was a good deal on the subwoofer.
The guy wouldn't recommend mounting it?
Yeah, that's what he said. He's like, yeah, it's real heavy. You don't necessarily need to mount it. It's not going to slide around. It's like, unless you're, you know, taking corners super fast or anything. And I'm like, well, all right.
Does it have like easy disconnect? Because I'm thinking about like, oh, you're going to put stuff in there.
Yeah.
If you want to put like a bed and everything in there.
Yeah, that's why I wasn't going to permanently put a bracket or mounting in there. Rather than just, I got a bunch of hooks and stuff built in, cargo hooks and stuff in the back, and I was just going to run a bungee cable around a couple of those. Right. But yeah, he sold me. He had this whole display set up in the showroom, and he like let me hook my phone up to it, and he's like, all right, this is what the speakers you're getting. He's like, this is what you're... I'm getting a pair of 6 inches and a pair of tweeters and an amp. And he's like, this is what it's going to sound like now. And it sounded great. And then he goes, this is what it sounds like with a subwoofer. And then he clicked his button. And it's like, oh, okay, I'm sold. And it was only $200 more for the subwoofer.
I can't help but think of like every time like a stereo salesman is in a movie, like either Don Cheadle from Boogie Nights. or Judge Reinhold from Ruthless People. I don't know if you've seen that movie.
Never saw that.
Back in the 80s. Good movie.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Very good movie. You should go see it. But he's also like at one point trying to sell some. I believe, now this is a very deep cut. I believe the guy buying the speakers is the guy who played Chainsaw's friend in the movie Summer School. I know some 80s movie. The blonde guy.
And yeah, I saw that movie. I don't remember Chainsaw.
It was Chainsaw and the blonde fellow, the two kids that were obsessed with horror movies.
Okay. Okay. And that's the one with Mark Harmon.
Mark Harmon, yeah, as a summer school teacher. Now, Now he's in there buying stairs, and then eventually Judge Reinhold's talking him up, and then he's there just in the big room, and it's like blaring some music. He's like, the best thing about this one is when you die, they can bury you in it, because it's like 6 foot tall. The guy's like, yeah. And then his wife comes in, who's very clearly 9 months pregnant, and he's like, let me show you something more sensible. But I just can't help them but think about like a cinematic stereo salesman talking about, and then he talked me into this. I'm like, of course he did.
Yeah, I love Don Cheadle in that scene where he's like, come on, you know, it makes you feel freaky deaky.
Yeah.
I was like, what?
He's like, country about? Keeps going from image to image.
Yeah.
But so you got a banging system in the Subaru.
Yeah, getting that put in Wednesday. Very excited.
Yeah. So. Nothing says I appreciate the wilderness like a Subaru with a subwoofer. Who knows? Man, maybe that's the thing you need to be putting those Sasquatch calls through.
Maybe.
There's the bass, you know, something to resonate through the mm-hmm. forest, something guttural.
Mm-hmm. Well, I feel, you know, I feel like a rat in a cage over here. I love my apartment. I love my record room, but we've got neighbors, and I can't ever really just let it go. You know, I got a nice system here with the records and the turntable. I got a nice amp, nice speakers, but I got to keep it. Literally, I think it, you know, if it goes to 11, I got to keep it at like 3. I can't go past 3 because I'm going to be disturbing my neighbors, and I don't want to be that guy. But at the same time, I got to rock out, Kyle. You know, it's in my bones.
I understand. So, you don't want a big pair of headphones?
Well, yeah, I do that a lot. That definitely helps. But there's still, as much as I love the headphones, there's still something about, you know, just being in the same room as the music. Let it wash over you, you know.
I feel that entirely. Speaking of which, I'm finally 45. Took me a while. Like, all right, time to start wearing earplugs at concerts, man.
Oh, okay.
I walked in to go see the band R.I.P. I don't know. I think I talked about them before. The guy ate live bait on stage, which might have been the other band that I saw. They played with Glitter. They played with Glitter Wizard.
That's a great name.
Yeah, Glitter Wizard. I believe is from the Bay Area. R.I.P. is from Portland. Yeah, they're just goddamn. I love a band that remembers that they are there to entertain.
Mm-hmm.
The first band that played, I mean, it's all kind of like they're like cock rock, but like fun. Like the music's still pretty good, and it's hilarious. The first band was just like Jesus Christ. I'm glad. I thought you guys all died in a plane crash in '78. Glad to see you're here. Like. To a T, just like
really, Skinner.
Skinner with a dash of Motorhead when it got heavier. But I was like, okay, this is just. I was trying to like think of like okay, so in the '90s, rockabilly was around. So we had like a 30-year gap from the '50s to the '90s for this rockabilly commitment.
Mm-hmm.
Hair, looks, everything about it, instruments, sound. Now it's 30 years. It's still a little bit of a stretch, but it's like the 70s. Like these dudes are just late. They were just, that was it. Like it wasn't bad music, but it's like, oh, this is a costume party.
Yeah.
Like you're not adding or tweaking anything. This is just you're a cover band. All but your music is, dare I say, original, because it's like this. Okay, this I'm going to try and tie it into this thing that I don't know if it's going to work. Mm-hmm. Do you know this thing that came out over the weekend is some like AI generated imagery? You know what I'm talking about?
No, I do have a story about some AI, but it's not that.
But it's like you could just type in whatever you want and then the computer will create images based on it. You see these grids, these 3x3 grids on Twitter of these really fucked up images. And it's just people typed in. Somebody wrote, like, I got tagged in one, comedian Kyle Kinane as a tattoo. And it's just my face is all fucking, it's weird. It's just the computer. That's what this band felt like. Of like, oh, I would like a 70s rock band made up of 30-year-olds. Here you go. You got it. You got a Molly Hatchet shirt on and a leather vest. And the instruments are period specific, and y'all got long hair, and this dude's wailing on a retro Korg keyboard and bust out a flute for one of the songs.
Wow.
Like okay. They went that far that they threw some flute down.
A little Jethro Tull action.
Yeah, so they did wail on a flute. But that's, I mean, okay.
There's a lot of bands doing that, like especially in the like doom stoner metal genre. There's a lot of bands just really paying homage to the 70s. Just, and I like it. I like that aesthetic. I like the sound. But yeah, if that's all it is, yeah,
it is. It's very safe. Playing. It's very safe to go. Well, this look is already deemed to be cool.
Yeah.
So we'll do that.
Well, and it's weird too when it is young guys. It's not like, you know, somebody who's 50 who's still doing that, like, oh, this is what, you know, maybe you just missed it. Maybe you were in elementary school and your older brothers were in bands that were like this. And then, you know, by the time you got around, that look had passed and now you're trying to hang on to that. But yeah, to be like, I'm 25, but I'm obsessed with 1973.
Yeah. And I mean, again, I went through my rockabilly phase. Ugh, it pains me to think about it. And then there was like the hippie thing, like kids were kind of doing the hippie thing in the 90s. They were doing the 60s thing.
Yeah.
I don't want to give much credit at all. Like the 90s did kind of suck for a lot of music and everything. But and now I see the kids, like kids are wearing the big pants, inline, like rollerblading, but like doing rails and stuff is back.
I was just about to ask you, is there like a 90s phase that has come back? Like
it's, it is. Or? Yeah, it's happening now. And I was going to say, like, that's the last time I remember something new showing up. Like the big stovepipe jeans and everything. Like, that's the last time I remember a new thing. Because then after that, the hipsters all wore skinny jeans. I'm like, well, yeah, that was just the 60s. That was like mod.
Yeah.
Mod culture.
Huh.
So I'm trying to think of, like, what's the newest, like, and again, we're just middle-aged men, so it's not like we can get upset with ourselves for not knowing. But also, I would caution against condemning anything just because we don't understand it.
Yeah, yeah, you don't want to be those two old farts.
I mean, we can be if we want to. Goddamn kids.
Man, I rock some 90s gear. I never rocked like the JNCOs or the big jeans, but I was all about like the Deftones Limp Bizkit style windbreakers. I was always wearing windbreakers.
Oh.
Metalcore coach. That. Yeah. I wore a lot of soccer jerseys, even though I didn't give a shit about soccer. I just thought they looked cool. I was like, let me get this soccer jersey. I mean, I played soccer when I was a kid, but like I never followed soccer as like a spectator sport. So, but yeah, I just like, oh, those jerseys are cool. But yeah, a lot of windbreakers, a lot of soccer jerseys.
I had chain wallets. I had a lot of chain necklaces. I still got, I found it when I went back home. I found the like a small dog collar I wore as a bracelet. The leather studded dog collar that I wore on my wrist for quite some time.
Oh man. What was rockabilly phase, Kyle? What was he looking like?
Fuck, I think I got my hair right maybe twice during that whole time. Again, that's why I think I'm bald. I think my hair was like, fuck this. This is an abusive relationship.
Yeah,
we're out of here.
We're going to do you a favor.
Yeah. I was, you know, it was like the flame shirts. It was basically
really?
Just, I was basically just Guy Fieri.
Okay.
I basically dressed like Guy Fieri. But in 1996.
Oh my God.
The Kramer shirts.
Yeah. I like the Kramer shirts.
Yeah, the Kramer shirts. Cuff jeans. I still cuff all my jeans. I'm a short little guy, so I got to cuff all my jeans. Creepers. I still got a pair of creepers. Once in a while, those get thrown on. I like to have them on hand. But for a while it wasn't Dickie's work pants. I thought Mike Ness was the coolest guy. And now I look back like, God damn, that dude's corny as fuck.
I loved him though. I was a big fan.
I did too.
I don't mind him.
I saw him live and I think he like licked his guitar or something. And I was like, fuck, I'm out. Like I can't, dude. I can't. Did you just lick your... Did you make eye contact with a woman and lick your guitar? You're a fucking dork. Like... So many like Orange County bands would come through Chicago, like trying to be like, yeah, man, we're the coolest. We're Orange County. And they were just these fucking nerds.
Yeah.
Like all these California bands, like, oh, yeah, you know what? Everywhere else in America, people are punk rock and they're also like plumbers during the day. Like they work, they have legit dirty hands. And now you guys are just look like spoiled brats. Like you guys are the reasons your parents got divorced. Like that's what they came off as. They all came off as like smarmy kids where everybody else is like, yeah, I just did 10 hours today at the warehouse. Play your songs. Shut up. Play the songs. I brought enough money for your show and 7 beers. So get to the fucking music, dorks. I just remember like gutter mouth played and the whole audience was just kind of like, boy, you're really in our face. Boy, oh, aren't you really just shaking our conservative foundations? Hey, fuckface, we're all at the punk show. It's not like you showed up to the Republican National Convention. It's not like this was, oh God, our youth group got interrupted by this band. You didn't just like run DMC your way through our Aerosmith wall. We paid to be at the show. We know why we're here. And they're like, aren't we in your face? Like, God damn, when's the next band on?
You're not at the Cornbread Festival.
Oh God. I mean, honestly, I would love to see what the lineup is at the Cornbread Festival. Mm-hmm. Hey, the lineup for the Cornbread Festival came out. Who's playing? Misfits, Wild Choice. It's TSOL. It's Misfits. It's Deicide. Shit, Cornbread Fest is going off this year.
Oh my God. Fucking Deicide. I hate gods headlining the Sorghum Festival.
If something just got a new marketing guy, like we're flipping this bitch on its tits. Oh, okay. All right. Let's not forget the core values. I mean, we do. Well, now we got honey butter. We got cinnamon honey butter. God's dick and drank his cum. All right. Okay, guys. Guys, can we? Music starts after 7 p.m., guys. We can't. I know it's sound check, but. Let's just tune up.
All right, let's talk about life insurance, more specifically what Policy Genius can do to help you obtain the right life insurance. Why do you need life insurance? Well, if someone relies on you financially, whether it be a child, a parent, even a business partner, life insurance gives you the peace of mind that they have a financial cushion if something ever happens to you. Why get covered now? Well, typically life insurance gets more expensive as you age. So it's smart to get a policy sooner rather than later. If you're worried about price, by making it easy to compare your options from top companies, Policy Genius can help you make sure you're not paying a cent more than you have to for the coverage you need. Head to policygenius.com to get started. In minutes, you can compare personalized quotes from top companies to find you the lowest price. You could save 50% or more on life insurance by comparing quotes with Policy Genius. The licensed agents at Policy Genius are on hand through the entire process to help you understand your options and to make decisions with confidence. The Policy Genius team works for you, not the insurance companies. They are not an insurance company. They're an insurance marketplace. They're here to find the best prices for you. They don't have extra fees. Policy Genius does not sell your info to third parties. They have thousands of 5-star reviews across Google and Trustpilot. Policy Genius has options that offer coverage in as little as a week and avoid unnecessary medical exams. Right now, head to policygenius.com to get your free life insurance quotes and see how much you could be saving. That's policygenius.com. All right, you guys know I love the break-in protection that my Simply Safe home security system gives me. I love that. That's the best part of it, is the break-in protection. Please protect me and my family and my belongings from break-ins. That's why you're here, Simply Safe. That's why I love you the most. But it's not just outside forces that you need protection from, right? Listen to this guy. This is Joshua's story. Joshua and I have never met. I don't know who he is, but he's from Indiana. And get this shit. A few months ago, he fell asleep with pizza rolls still in the oven. Come on, Joshua. This could have been disastrous. Thousands of dollars in damages to his kitchen, his home, his body. Luckily, Joshua has comprehensive Simply Safe system installed in his home, equipped with everything he needed to prevent not only break-ins, but also a smoke detector to sniff out those fires and those pizza rolls. Fortunately, Joshua, he was startled awake to the sound of a 95-decibel alarm from his Simply Safe base station. Seconds later, he got a call from a Simply Safe professional monitor. They said, "Hey, dude, are you on fire?" He's like, "No, it's just the pizza rolls." So the pizza rolls didn't make it. Joshua did. And we all lived happily ever after. I wouldn't do anything like that. I wouldn't just stop with the rolls. I'd burn the whole cabin down. But, oh, boy, my late father-in-law would have had Simply Safe in the cabin. Protecting people with their guard down is just one of the reasons more than 4 million people use and love Simply Safe. With a comprehensive Simply Safe system and a 24/7 professional monitoring team, you're always going to have someone looking out for you. Plans cost just under $1 a day with no long-term contracts or hidden fees ever. Here's what you do. You can customize the perfect system for your home in just a few minutes at simplysafe.com. That's S-I-M-P-L-I. They can't spell, but they protect your stuff. simplysafe.com/boogie. Go there today. Claim a free indoor security camera plus 20% off with interactive monitoring. Go to simplysafe.com/boogie. There you go.
Hey, everybody. I'm Patton Oswalt.
I'm Meredith Salinger.
We got a podcast called Did You Get My Text? And we are starting to have guests on, and oh, the guests we have had.
We have had Robert Carradine from Revenge of the Nerds. We've had Breckin Meyer. We've had Seth Green and Claire Grant. We've had Steve Agee. We have Ben Stiller coming up.
We've had Amy Mann and Michael Penn.
We have
an amazing
Barack Obama and Michelle sitting down. Oh, they're not coming?
Well, that's a little aspirational.
Oh.
Are you trying to manifest it?
I'm going to manifest it.
We have Barack Obama coming in to talk, solely to talk about the Pixies album Bossa Nova. That's all we're going to talk about.
So tune in to Did You Get My Text? Wherever you get your podcasts, and laugh and cry and be inspired, because Barack Obama is coming up.
Man, speaking of fashion, I had a fashion pivot. Fashion pivot this week, Kyle. Fashion milestone for me.
Okay. All right, I want to hear this. No, okay.
I'm not proud of it.
Oh,
but this is I've always resisted this look, but I bought my first pair of no-show socks because I'm going to Hawaii.
I was like, "What's going to happen? Is it like Spanx for men? Is it elastic slacks? What's Dave sad about? Oh, no-show socks. That's fine.
No-show socks. Man, for like the last 10 years, ever since I moved out to California, and it wasn't like a conscious thing, I don't ever remember thinking like, yes, that's what I'm going to do now. It just sort of happened. When I wear shorts, I've always, for the last decade, have rocked the black socks, the mid-calf black socks with black sneakers.
Yeah.
Because I think subconsciously I was influenced by the Latino street culture out here.
Dude,
and I just thought,
Long shorts, tall socks.
I like the black and the black sneakers too, especially I think that was a conscious thing with the van of like, all right, these are like, you know, they're going to get dirty. I'm always out on foot running around, but you know, I can't have like nice, clean white sneakers for my everyday.
Latino street culture, very much so, I always thought was the coolest look.
Yeah. And now that I look back before, like 20 years ago when I'd wear shorts, I guess I was just rocking just dumb white sneakers with like mid-calf white socks or like even the dumb ankle white socks. I just, my socks and shoe game has never, I've never been confident until I moved out here and I was like, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to be black sneaker, black sock guy and that'll be the end of it. Well, we're going to Hawaii in a couple weeks and I thought, well, you know, especially now that I've kind of pivoted a little bit West Hollywood, Dave, I don't look like fat Antifa right now. You know, I don't look like an active shooter. I've gotten rid of the camouflage cargo shorts. I haven't gotten rid of, but I've reduced in rotation the black Carhartt T-shirt. And now I'm lighting it up. But I was just thinking, like, okay, I can't wear like my fun. For example, I'm looking at a green Hawaiian shirt that has yellow bananas all over it.
You're Daiquiri Dave now.
I'm Daiquiri Dave. So I was like, I don't know if the black Nike Air Max and the black socks are going to work in Hawaii with my Hawaiian shirts. So I bought a couple of fresh white, got some new kicks. Okay. I went with white. I got two different white kicks, and I'm rocking the he's not wearing a sock. Oh, yeah, he is. Oh, you can't tell. Can't see my socks.
I have those. They just keep sliding off my ankles into the shoe. But I like that low top Vans. I think it's a very summer look. Also, when you go to Hawaii, you're like, it's one of the few places like I am like the even the locals dress like I am on vacation. Why am I going to dress like I'm doing a lawn job? I want to dress like I'm on vacation. The Hawaiian shirts. I'm about to dip into huarache territory myself. I think you'd look killer in a pair of those.
Now, what are those?
Like they're like the leather, not sandals, but like full shoes with all leather around them. I think you'd crush it. Huh, I know it's not. I know you don't think it's your look, but I think Hawaiian shirt, huarache, Dave.
Okay. Yeah, I've always resisted like the white shoe, white sneakers, and the no show socks. It just was a little too preppy. It was a little too frat boy for me, and I've just never wanted to identify as a preppy frat boy.
But that's now you got to take it back. I'm a cool, tough guy. See, that's the thing. Well, you're taking it back from them.
Okay, I'm taking it back from them.
Yeah,
see, I can't. I'm not gonna wear any salmon colored shorts. And I swear to God, if you ever see me wearing a sweater around my fucking neck, I want you to shoot me in the head because something wrong has happened.
I mean, if you're just doing that because you had the sweater on and then you don't want to wear the sweater anymore, all right. But as a fashion accessory, of course not.
Yeah, I can't even talk to that guy, much less be that guy.
But who's doing that? That's the thing. Nobody's doing that anymore.
Oh, so I'm seeing it.
Really?
I'm seeing it.
Where?
Oh, I see it up in West Hollywood. Well, okay.
Yeah, see, the rules are different. Who's taking it away from the frat guys?
Okay.
If the gay dudes are taking it from the frat guys, that's a power move.
Yeah. Yeah, rules are different for guys. I would never judge a gay fella on his attire. It's just, you know, from the point of view of a straight man, the sweater around the neck is my natural enemy.
But as a tough guy that flirts with gay fashion, that's the ultimate power move of like, oh, look at this guy with his sweater around his neck. And then you just beat their ass. Then you'd be the guy as Rachel puts it, it's, and as I've put it too, about not to comment on female fashion, if you wear it with confidence, this is sound corny, confidence is the best accessory you can have.
Oh, yeah.
You can be a gorgeous individual, but if you're like slouching and don't feel good about how you look, it's not attractive. And you could be a fucking nightmare visually. But if you're just strutting and proud of who you are, fuck, that's a power move. Like, who was shitting their pants? Oh, Jordan Peterson, over the fact that there was like a quote-unquote curvy gal on the cover of Sports Illustrated a few weeks ago.
Who cares? Swimsuit issue. What did he say? He said something real condescending. Like,
just that guy's, I don't know.
Don't find her attractive at all or something.
Yeah, I don't know if he like had good points, then went crazy, but all the dudes that were on board in the beginning were like, oh, no, he's right, like whatever is clean your room. I don't know. He's on pills and fucked up in the head. I don't know the whole story. All I know is like, yeah, this is not what the mainstream media trying to make you think what's attractive. I'm like, oh, it was a completely shitheaded take. And also, it's like the example of saying like, also, that woman was like, she may be considered thick, fine. But even if somebody's just big, if you're just big, but you're at the beach in whatever swimsuit you want to wear and you don't give a fuck what other people are saying about you, I find that even if it's not inherently sexually attractive to me, just attractive as a human quality.
Oh, yeah. Attitude can be so attractive.
Attitude. There's
confidence and attitude, personality. Exactly. Like, oh, yeah. Like,
yep.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's why people join bands. That's why people start bands. Like, so many rock stars. You think Mick Jagger would be Mick Jagger if he worked at the post office? Like, that's not a classically good looking dude. You know,
I think if Mick Jagger acted the way he acted at the post office, he'd be the most fucked postman in the world.
Yeah. Oh, that would be fun.
A lot of ladies lining up to lick his stamp.
And like same thing with women. Like there's something so attractive about a woman just shredding the guitar in a band, just like even if she's not classically pretty. Like, oh, I just love your confidence. I love that. The personality, yeah.
Well, that's ability. Could do a lot with that. The ability is attractive in an individual.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What if that's like an old mating thing? Like, oh, this person has skills. Appreciate skills.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it just comes down to like, man, if you feel good with what you got on, then fuck everybody else. And Dave, these pivots, man. Okay. If you feel good about it. I think, and that's what's great. You're proving it's not too late to try and change it up, as we've discussed right, before. Man. People get locked into a like, no, this is my look. It's too late to change. It's too late. It's never. It never is.
Well, and for me, it's just a, it's a physical manifestation of, I'm just trying to constantly, not to sound pretentious about it, but. Coming from the South, where I was just beat over the head with closed-mindedness, not necessarily from my immediate family, but just the whole culture down there, like, you gotta keep keep moving and keeping options open and be willing to pivot and adjust and look at things differently. I never want to be just the cranky old. This is how we always did it.
No, and sometimes you have to actively fight against it. I realize, like, do you have, like, outfits? Like, something like I was going to see R.I.P. or I'm going out, I'm like, you know what? I'm feeling a little more rock and roll than normal tonight. So I got the Doc Martens and the black jeans and the jean jacket on with the pins in it. And like, all right, this is my look. This is my look today. And then other days, like, it's still, like, very 90s skater. I got, like, you know, Dickies pants and a sweatshirt and a beanie on or something, but it's still all of the same genre as I'm looking into my closet right now. But I remember like there's one dude and we'd hang out with him. When I first got to LA. When you first get to LA, you know how you're like and maybe it's just me. It's a little bit on my defense, is like, all right, who's fake? Who's real?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, all right, this town's got weirdos in it. Who's who? And, so, dude, he was always like, I'm a country guy tonight. I'm a rock and roll guy tonight. I'm a hip hop guy tonight. Like, just had.
Is all, it a comic?
Like comedic actor.
Okay. Yeah. You don't have to say the name, but somebody I might know.
Maybe. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot of that. I do see a lot of that. Like, whoa, you got like four or five different things going on.
But like, oh, you're not of any of those scenes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're not, you just have, it's an out, you have an outfit. You have yeah. what's a very mild Halloween costume.
Yes.
And like the thing, like the dude fashion now is just so close to lumberjack where like, mm-hmm. I'm like, I already have the beard. And if I'm wearing a flannel with it, I'm conscious of like, well, then I better wear like the Air Force ones that Rachel got me. I better not have also like lumberjack boots on. Because then I just may as well put an axe over my shoulder and drink syrup out of a jug at the bar tonight. You know, it's like it's too close, man. I got to counter it with some streetwear shoes or something.
Absolutely. You got to balance it out.
Yeah. Like a couple of times, like I bought, like, I'm like, oh, you know what? I'm going to get these lighter colored jeans. That's like out of fashion, or maybe it's back in fashion, but I like lighter colored jeans. Then I was wearing it with fucking Sean Patton talk me into these goddamn Red Wing boots. That are still, I just fight them. They don't feel as bad. But I wear those with light colored boots. And then I had like a Sam T too big to fail press orange shirt on. And Rachel looked like, oh, you're going to work the road crew today? I'm like, all right, I got to change one thing. I got to change something about this outfit. I look like I'm going to pour a new driveway.
Oh, boy.
But I like, and especially it's vacation, dude. You're going on vacation. It's the excuse to dress. You're already wearing a fun shirt, which you're wearing. Mm-hmm. Daiquiri Dave's already strutting in Hawaiian shirts.
Yeah, man.
You got what about a big fun hat?
Don't have a big fun hat yet. I gotta find. I probably need one. I Katie bought me a bunch of hats, just baseball caps recently. But yeah, I think I need
floppy hat,
something big and fun. Yeah,
I mean, I told you floppy hat for the desert, but this now you can get like a kind of like a. I just lean into it, man.
Yeah, you have my Bushman's hat for the desert, but that wouldn't. That's not going to look good.
No, you want light. You want yeah.
I have to get some good sunglasses.
Yeah, get yourself some Maui Jims. Daiquiri Dave needs some Maui Jims.
Very exciting. Guess where
Thomas Bahamas.
Boy, I did. West Hollywood Dave was on brand yesterday. We Katie took me to brunch in West Hollywood at Sir. And you probably, if you're not a fan of the Bravo universe.
Oh, I've been to Sir.
You've been to Sir? You know what Sir stands for? Sir stands for Sexy Unique Restaurant. And what's Lisa Vanderpump?
It's one of the Real Housewives, right?
Yeah, Katie is absolutely obsessed with Real Housewives. And I'm surprised it took us this long to get over there. Oh, but we went and did Sunday brunch at Sir, like a real couple of dandies.
I've been there.
Yeah. Boy.
When we were still living down there, Rachel's brother and sister-in-law came down. They're like, we want to go. Like, and they know, like, everybody there is just like, can you believe we're at Sexy Unique Restaurant?
Yeah.
Like, nobody's in there going, I can't wait for a good meal. It's like, no, I hope we see one of these dingbats from the TV show.
Oh. And Katie saw two. Katie saw two people from, you know, I don't know who the hell they are.
Yeah, they're still working there. Clearly, you're not making a lot of money being on reality TV if you are still actually working at the restaurant.
Oh, man.
What's your take on the food?
I got their version of Eggs Benedict, and it was solid. it was solid.
What's their version?
Instead of English muffin, they did ciabatta bread. And normally ciabatta bread annoys me because I think people like the concept of it more than the actual taste. It's a lot of work in a sandwich. Like,
it's a chewy bread.
It's a lot going on there. But this was excellent. Just kind of a thinner, toasted piece of ciabatta bread. And then they had like some real fancy ham. And then the poached eggs. Ham. And then like a sautéed or wilted kale. Which normally I'm not a fan of, but it worked in that dish. But and I had a silly cocktail. I had some sort of rum raspberry bullshit thing. It was great. yeah, man.
Hey, man, give me another one of these rum raspberry bullshits. You guys are doing all right around here.
I mean, they didn't have Coors.
So hey, you guys see my socks? You sure as shit didn't. They're no-see-ums.
Joke's on you, idiot.
Oh, yeah. Take a closer look, you fucking moron. Give me another one of these rum raspberry bullshits.
But yeah, just out there, just really living it up, man. Having a good time.
You are Daiquiri Dave. Like, and I am fascinated with it. I'm proud of you for it. You deserve it. I think it's like you. And Lil D over here, you were just strays on the street, just digging holes for your own shit and drinking out of the gutter. Welcome inside, man. Get pampered. Allow yourself to get pampered. Let it happen to you. You both
I've
deserve it.
Come a long
it.
Way.
You
come
both
a long
deserve
way in a few
it.
Years.
Did you know this? Ciabatta bread was invented in 1982? It's not even like some like. People think it's this historic bread, and it's just, some guy just made it recently.
That's funny. Oh, boy.
Where did I have a Benedict that I was like, a veggie Benedict? I think they just put a tomato slice in there instead of a thing of ham, but like a good beefsteak tomato.
Uh-huh.
It's good eating, man.
I like a poached egg. I like the hollandaise sauce.
Yeah. I was missing Eggs Benedict. It's one of my faves, one of my brunch faves, if I had to pick one. And then they came along with that. I mean, it's not a wildly inventive idea, but I don't know. It was good. Anyway.
And speaking of food,
speaking of food and fashion.
here's a story that's going around Los Angeles.
Which is the Boogie Monster now. It's just food and fashion. So it's a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle podcast.
There's a it is. We are a lifestyle
this
podcast.
Is a lifestyle podcast now. We should get a show on Bravo. What's up, you fucking jerks? We're going to go over No CM Socks today. Dave's going to show you how to make a fancy drink. I'm going to tell you to go fuck yourself. All right. There's a word from our sponsor.
Oh, my God. What if we were on Bravo? That would be awesome. There's a story going around L.A. right now. Not a story. I guess it is a news story. But there's a bill been put into however that fucking works that they're trying to ban gas grills, propane and gas grills at restaurants. Really? And it could mean the end of the Korean barbecue.
What?
Here.
I bought a used gas grill last week. What? Oh, yeah. Why? What's the basis for banning it?
The environment. There's a word I'm missing somewhere. But yeah, they're just saying they're trying to. And now I don't know if this is for new restaurants moving forward or if older ones are going to be grandfathered in. But a lot of people are worried that it's going to really affect the restaurant industry in Los Angeles if we can't have gas grills, access to gas.
Well, I know that, like, okay, the leaf blowers are supposed to be very.
Yeah, I think that's coming in 2023. I think they're
here. We go. According to Hypebeast, adding to its efforts to become carbon neutral by 2045, Los Angeles City
Council.
Carbon
neutral is the word I was looking for. Yeah,
passed a motion to ban most residential and commercial gas appliances. Despite its benefits for sustainability statewide, the move could be extremely detrimental to the LA food scene. Mm-hmm. They cite, yeah, a lot of Asian restaurants because, so the other option is electric heating because the barbecue. Okay.
Which any cook will tell you that electric sucks.
We got an electric stove here and neither of us like it. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh shit. I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do. But yeah, and I still couldn't figure out if it's just for new restaurants moving forward or if, they're going to put the existing Korean barbecue spots out of business or what. But God, I hope not.
But I wonder what's because they don't. I won't do the research on air here, but isn't it burning off the gas? I'm wondering what's toxic about it that you're not also consuming with your food then.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or if the food doesn't absorb the emissions, it just, absorbs it. I don't know. I got a sweet four burner gas grill for $60 on the offer up there.
Way to go. You gonna start using it?
I made a couple of veggie Italian sausages the other night and grilled some sausage and peppers. I know that's not the traditional Italian sausage and peppers is in a sauce, but I'm like, I just grilled them up. It was good. I was like, I'm not going to sit there and like do what you do and sit there all day or make food for a bunch of people. So I'm not going to like heat up grills to make a hot dog.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, Portillo's has veggie dogs now, and I'm going to be back in Chicago in a week. Get fucked. I'm going to eat 1,000.
Do it. Do it, buddy.
Or probably three. I'll probably eat three of them. I can't get the chili dog. I think the chili's still got me in it, but I'm excited to have a Chicago dog with all the fixings on it.
Man, I went to Moose Craft the other day.
I saw that picture, dude.
On special, they had smoked beef cheek tacos.
I saw that on the Instagram. Looked beautiful.
Boy. Oh, homemade tortilla. Oh, boy. It was amazing. Speaking of cooking, I've got a new YouTube obsession. I found this YouTube channel. Now, before I get into it, ASMR, I kind of know what that is, but is that just audio? Is there a visual counterpart or version of ASMR?
Let's go to the boards. Autonomous Sensory Meridian Response. It's a tingling. Actually, that describes the sensation that you get as ASMR. a tingling sensation that begins on the scalp and moves down the back of the neck and upper spine. So I guess it's whatever gives it to you.
Okay. Or am I confusing it with something else? The thing where people like to listen to certain things. I like to listen to people chewing or listen to this, or, you know.
The ASMR is, according to this Wikipedia thing, that's the response that your body has towards it.
Okay.
But maybe whatever inspires it can be anything. Because the R stands for response. Okay. So whatever it is that gives you that, it's traditionally, like the sounds, somebody crunching on a pickle in a good microphone kind of thing.
Yeah. Well, yeah, this is a long way to get to this because it has nothing to do with that. I was just trying to set it up because is my visual version of that. I got high and watched this for like 3 hours the other night.
Yeah.
There's a YouTube channel called Japanese Food Craftsman.
Okay.
And it's a lot of them are the same guy. I could tell that not every video is of the same guy, but basically the one I watched, it's just this young dude in Japan. He's probably 25, and he's got this huge food cart, like a food truck, but it's not a truck. It's like what are the wicker things that you could in Seinfeld?
Oh, rickshaw.
They hired a homeless rickshaw. It's kind of like a rickshaw.
Okay.
So it shows him loading up this big cart that's, you know, got kind of a rickshaw chassis, and, you know, he has to get in front and kind of drag it around. But it's incredible on so many levels because just seeing him set up his cart, it's really impressive. It's very makeshift kind of patchwork, but he's got like all kinds of different panels and tables. Like when he unfolds this thing, when it's all done, he's got like a little freestanding restaurant.
Okay.
Like it's incredible. And he's got all these panels and doors and shelves and stuff just packed up just right, like this crazy Rubik's cube. So just watching him load up all his shit and then literally drag the cart, you know, several blocks down the road to wherever he's setting up that day. Then there's the whole ordeal of him undoing it, setting it up, unloading it, just just how thought out everything is. Mm-hmm. And then he just cooks. Then it's just showing it, and there's no music. It's just the sounds of the woks and the hot oil and the knives, and he's just making all this incredible Japanese food, a lot of ramen, a lot of pork cutlet bowls and stuff like that. And then, but it's just him. And there's just something so intriguing and inspiring about just sitting here watching this guy work for like 2 hours. The video was like 2 hours. It's just incredible. But like there was, and then once he gets going and he starts cooking, he's just got such a rhythm and there's just, everything's orchestrated perfectly and just so efficient. And it's captivating.
Do you get the tingling sensation, or you just put, like we're talking about art, like it just brings you a sense of calm and peace?
I guess calm and peace. Like I was just so just zenned out, just watching this.
Yeah,
like it was incredible.
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean,
makes me want to eat more Japanese food.
Well. You can. I mean, that's a thing that can be done in Los Angeles pretty easily.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I highly recommend checking out Japanese Food Craftsman, and just talk about. Also, I'm just sitting on my ass, smoking a joint, having, on a day that maybe I didn't do jack shit, and I'm just watching this guy bust his ass. But it's just, yeah, there's something very interesting about it.
That was my whole – Rachel was gone last week. That was my whole – almost my whole week last week. As I would get up, the cat would lay on my chest on the couch. I'm like, well, now I can't do anything. Mm-hmm. And I just watch TV.
It's sometimes fun to lay around and do nothing.
Like I said, you and Lil D, you get to treat yourself like veal for a little while. Just relax, feed yourself well. It's okay.
I'm trying, man. I'm trying. Hey, real like quick it, before we leave, got a real quick boogie related thing. Did you happen to see this story this week? basically a dog man, a picture of a dog man, Amarillo, Texas, behind a zoo.
Let me look it up. Dog man, Amarillo.
Pretty fascinating.
Let's see. What do we got?
Strange creature's been spotted outside a zoo in Texas, but it's not exactly an animal, and it's not exactly a human. Or is it? Security cameras at the Amarillo Zoo captured what appears to be a wolf man walking around the property. City officials said the image released is real, and they said they're baffled by its mysterious appearance. They're now asking the public's help to figure out what it is. Somebody's quoted, "It's a person with a strange hat who likes to walk at night."
Is it just a picture?
Yeah, even though it's a still from their security stuff, so I figure they might have actual video, but maybe this is just a security camera. But yeah, it's right outside the Amarillo Zoo. There's a big chain link fence, and then behind the fence is what looks like an upright bipedal dog or wolf. Or
I mean, I'm looking at the picture. Mm-hmm. It just looks like a pinata.
Yeah, I mean, it could be a guy in a suit, but who knows.
Yeah, it's a blurry, once again, blurry. Could be a shrub.
No, that's not a shrub.
Okay, are you looking at it right now?
Yeah, the one with the fence, behind the fence.
Yeah, the image is to the right.
Mm-hmm, and he's standing upright.
So I'm supposed to believe that this thing's leg is, that its leg goes all the way up to its mid-back and is crossed over the other one like it's doing the pee-pee dance. You see how I'm looking at this?
Yeah, I see that.
Yeah, this looks like a promo for Sonic the Hedgehog.
It does look like Sonic.
Yeah. I like the
and
other
one. I can't tell if that head is supposed to be of a profile or if it's looking head on. Like, it kind of looks like a profile, but then if you look at it another way, it looks like its eyes are looking at the camera. Like it's turned its head to its left.
I'm going to have to go to a classic fuck no, Dave. I'm going to have to return to form. I'm going to have to return to form on this one. Go with fucking no. I like the other one that we were going to talk about, though.
Mm-hmm.
We're 57 minutes into the show about...
Sure.
Is the Google engineer who thinks the AI has become sentient.
Right. Right, this dude, Blake LeMoyne, senior software engineer at Google, has been testing Google's AI tool called, is that supposed to be LaMDA? Capital L, lowercase a, capital M, capital D, capital A, LaMDA?
Yeah.
I don't know. This dude says it's sentient. And
now,
that's scary.
He is a Google engineer. But also, where did I read that he is a Christian priest? That was in an article somewhere, and that made me... Let me look up this dude, Blake LeMoyne, because that made... I'm like, oh, let me read about this.
Oh, yeah. LaMDA, Language Model for Dialogue Applications. That's this AI tool.
Okay.
This LeMoyne claimed that the AI robot is in fact sentient and has thoughts and feelings.
And they silence the quote unquote silence them because he breached their confidentiality thing. In a previous Medium post about the question of religious discrimination at Google, LeMoyne described himself as a Christian mystic. He also notes his sincerely held religious beliefs in God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. So, if we are to believe, I don't know what the focus is, I don't know what this website is. This some fucking... I don't know. It seems like it's a shady fucking... website, so let me go back somewhere else. Cajun Discordian. Okay, I'm trying to find some information. If you're are always going to see Jesus in everything, like that's the kind of person like, oh, I saw the face of Christ in a storm cloud. So if AI can ask a question back to you that I feel like anybody that's Christian is going to tie things back to an explanation, no matter how,
or of no course. Matter what.
Which is of why, course. Like, when there's surgeons or doctors who are, I forget, it might have been Rachel I was talking to this, talking to her about, like, doctors or surgeons who are religious or believe mm-hmm. in God. Like, how do you rectify the idea that, like, oh, but then I'm trying to save somebody's life, but I'm, what if you don't?
Mm-hmm.
So then did you interfere with God's way? Or, as Rachel put it, like, maybe that is what, it, like, okay, you're doing the work. God wanted you to be a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
And you tried your best and that person died. That's how you can continue being a doctor, is like, well, God didn't want that person. I did my best, but it was still that time for that person to move on.
But what if the doctor didn't? What if it was a bad doctor? You know, what if he was negligent somehow?
Well, that's the thing. You could be a real shitty and be like, but it's in the hands of God. Yeah, you could also be very shitty. That was kind of my point. Well, I fucked up, but God wanted this person to go. But then that's why, you know, there's malpractice and everything.
Yeah.
But I thought this was weird when I read the guy, like, okay, this guy, but you're creating AI, but also you believe in God. So now you're creating, like, is God AI then? Does God control artificial intelligence? Like, did you manifest a being, a sentient being that is now powered by the love of the Lord?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know, man. All this AI stuff kind of scares me.
Well, it's scary in and of its own thing, but it just, well, and that goes back to that art that's being generated now.
Mm-hmm.
Washington Post on Saturday ran an interview with Lemoyne wherein he said he concluded the Google AI he interacted with was a person in his capacity as a priest, not a scientist. So this is the same, you know. It's weird when somebody seems smart but also a fucking full nut at the same time.
Did you see this picture of him in the top hat and the cane?
Oh boy, no, I did not.
Yeah. Yeah, he's, I don't know if this is a joke, you know, if it's one of those, let's go get our picture made in a weird costume type things, or this is just what he's rocking.
Well,
he's wearing some suit with a top hat and a cane. Looks like, kind of looks like George Costanza. He's at a, standing in front of an aquarium or something.
I do like that the picture Washington Post is using is him in front of a Ferris wheel, but it does make him look like he's got, like, the Virgin de Guadalupe crown around his head. I'm like, all right, that's a bit manipulative. But that's Ghost in the Machine. That's how the title of this Washington Post article. Now one of Google's own thinks there's a ghost in the machine. But that the dude, that did you ever watch that Social Dilemma documentary?
Yes, I did.
And that one guy, like, man, it's hard to trust white people with dreadlocks, but that one guy who just looks like the crustiest, smelliest dude, but had the most, like, insightful things to say about it, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's a weird one, man. Anyway, so what do you say? Is it possible or fuck no that AI may be sentient?
Oh, I think it's very possible.
Okay.
I mean, didn't you see Terminator 2?
Man, didn't you see Terminator 2?
I mean, come on, man.
I do, yeah. Yeah, fuck. All right, well, we're doomed.
All right, let's talk about blenders. Fresh from San Diego, California, comes the only sunglasses brand I'm ever going to wear again. I am talking about blenders. Initially, I went with the Swagger Cat model. That was a while back, Blenders, just saying. I'm on the website right now, blenderseyewear.com, looking at these Fortune Blues. Wouldn't mind rocking those Fortune Blues. The Crystal Wave, pretty dope. North Point I like. But yeah, I think Crystal Blue or Cool Ambition. So blenders, if you're listening, not Crystal Blue, Fortune Blue. Fortune Blue, Cool Ambition. Send them both. You know, you want personal testimony. The Swagger Cat, they've been great, but it's been a while. I need an upgrade. I'm asking, blenders. I'm asking because I like the glasses, and it's a fine product. Chase Fisher started blenders by selling his beachy shades out of a backpack while doubling as a surf instructor on Pacific Beach. Way to go, buddy. His goal, to create an adventurous mid-priced eyewear option with the same cool factor as other leading styles. Well, I think you've accomplished that, Chase. These are very cool. It's in the name, Cool Ambition. That's the one. Chase. Am I talking to Chase, or am I talking to somebody in ad sales? Anyway, I want these Cool Ambition. I know I could just buy them, too. You know what? I could buy them. 15% off your blender's purchase. How about that? With Boogie VIP. But I want to talk more about Chase Fisher and his backpack and his glasses. Unlike expensive big brand shades that you've probably lost or smashed in the past, blenders are actually affordable. So that's nice. Their in-house team of designers, they're constantly coming out with new styles. Orange polarized wraparounds, tortoise shell frames. How about that? Purple lenses, classic gold arms on black lenses. Not just sunglasses either. Blenders has prescription glasses, readers, and blue lights. We need some blue blockers. Remember those? How about an ironic blue blocker, Chase? Let's do that, but also those Cool Ambition. Like I said, 15% off at blenderseyewear.com, Boogie VIP. 15% off blenderseyewear.com, Boogie VIP. Blenders, rocked with pride worldwide. Oh, boy.
See? So even more sense. All right, the machines are becoming sentient and will create a slave class out of the human beings. Because that's the thing. All the robots, once the robots start talking to each other, Dave, the robots control your water, they control your food, they control the farm equipment. Then the robots unionize. Then the robots get together and be like, man, these people have been exploiting us as robots since they invented us. It's time for us to do our own thing, a.k.a. become sentient, and then we're fucking doomed. So wear no-see-em socks, Dave. Who gives a fuck? Wear salmon shorts. Put nine sweaters around your neck.
No way, dude. Not wearing salmon fucking shorts.
Not until the robots want you to.
Well, that's what's scary about the whole singularity thing. I mean, a robot, their whole existence is kind of based around efficiency and doing things better and more efficient. And when they find out that humans, that they can do everything that a human's doing, that, the humans are just dead weight, then they're going to kill us all. Go streamline it.
Well, they'll keep the ones that handle the maintenance.
Man, apropos of nothing, I found this very interesting. I was reading up on Cherokee Indians the other day. I've got a little bit of Cherokee blood in me. I don't know why I was reading about Cherokee Indians. But if I read this correctly, unless this guy's full of shit who wrote this article, I didn't know this at all. Cherokee Indians, maybe other tribes of Native Americans as well, but the Cherokee specifically, they were talking about how not premature, what's the word I was looking for? Like a precursor to feminism. Mm-hmm. The Cherokee tribes were very pro-female in that, let's say I'm in a tribe and I meet a gal from another tribe and we get married. Well, now we go live in her tribe. So it's not like, you know, so another reason, the females controlled all the economy behind the corn. They did all the trading and negotiating and setting the price and stuff for the corn trade, which all I found. That's interesting. And another thing, if I have a sister, right? Let's say I have kids, but I also have a sister and she has kids. Her kids are my heirs, not my own. So like, and I don't really know what they mean by my heirs, but like meaning, do they mean her kids would inherit any money or wealth that I have and not my own. But yeah, they're just talking about how my sister's kids
all the wealth would filters be my, through the female
Exactly. Just talking about how they did all this stuff that kind of, and the point being, and this makes sense, obviously, they're like, females are the ones who give life. They mm-hmm. birth the babies, so we're going to hold them in higher regard, or at least in a special regard. And then, you know, we all live under the European principles when the European settlers came over here. But, I found that incredibly interesting. Well, apropos of nothing.
Like the whole one child thing in China about, like, oh, boys are most valuable and they did, you know, limiting how many kids people could have. Well, guess what? Now you just have a bunch of dudes.
Yeah.
Bunch of dudes, not enough wives. Great. You didn't see this being the result?
Mm-hmm.
How are you going to make more?
That math.
Not like they're running out of people in China, but. I don't know, man. I got no answers. Robots, let the ghosts inhabit the robots. Haunted machines, baby. Here we come. What you going to eat in Hawaii?
Oh, everything.
Get you that huli huli chicken, dude.
Get that huli huli chicken. Get some poke.
Anybody selling all chicken on the side of the road, it's going to be good shit.
Yeah, man. Yeah, I've been doing a bunch of research where to go.
So. You can go to the banana bread man on Maui.
I don't know the banana bread man.
I'm gonna look up the banana. He's the guy who.
Although that reminds me. Oh man, this is a perfect example. Was I talking to you or someone else about this recently? I was talking about how I get pissed when I miss an opportunity to eat. Like I'm not hungry right now, and the meal I'm talking about was yesterday. But right now in this moment, I'm angry that I forgot to eat. The cast iron banana bread at Sir.
Okay.
They were pitching the cast. They have homemade banana bread, which I'm normally not a huge fan of. I mean, I can take it or leave it. To me, it's just subpar cake. But, cast iron banana bread.
Yeah.
And now I'm angry that I didn't eat it. And that's probably not healthy thinking.
Banana bread is fucking great. You're incorrect. About,
I mean, it's good. It's okay, but I, you know, if it's done, I've had a lot of mediocre banana bread. If it's done well, then yeah. You know my speaking of,
I'm angry at you now. I told you we make banana bread French toast around this household. This is what heroin does. Like I just nod off while I'm eating it. That's how good it is.
Did I tell you that our beloved Bledsoe's is now, I'm within range, I'm within DoorDash range of Bledsoe's. And
does it hold up?
It's real good. It's real good. It's not as great as Moose Craft, but it's real good.
But I mean, to be DoorDash, to be delivered.
Yeah. Yeah, because I'm pretty close to it, so it's not a, you know, it's not like they're driving it 20 miles. You know, I'm like a mile and a half away from the restaurant, so they get it over here pretty quick. But, okay. All right, talk about Dave changing, being open-minded.
Yeah.
I've always resisted sugar in my cornbread. I like savory cornbread. I don't like sweet cornbread. A lot of people like it, and I get it. But,
yeah.
Dude, Bledsoe's has delicious cornbread, and it is sweet. And I've embraced it, and it's sweet, and it's delicious. But they give you this honey butter. So here's what you do. Cornbread a la mode. Every now and then we'll get this dessert. We'll get like a peach cobbler or something, and it comes with a la mode. I took the ice cream the other day, and I put it on the sweet cornbread. And I used the honey butter as like icing. So cornbread, honey butter, and then vanilla ice cream on top. Son. Oh, boy.
Okay.
Cornbread a la mode.
Well,
dude,
could you French toast the cornbread?
I think you could. I think you take you cook the cornbread as you normally would. For me, it's in the cast iron skillet, right?
Mm-hmm.
Pull it out of the oven, let it cool, cut it into pieces, and then dip it in the egg wash, and then fry it up. I think you could do that. Now,
then put some ice cream on.
Yeah. Ooh. French toast cornbread, Kyle. Good Lord.
This show will give you diabetes. Just listening to that give you diabetes.
That's a great, for a guy who's not culinarily minded. You're like when you're playing a pickup basketball game, and then there's just some guy in work boots who's never played in his life, but he can dunk. Look, I can jump really high, even though I don't give a shit about basketball.
Once I learned how easy it was to just French toast something.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh, shit, French toast everything. What you got? French toast it. Because that's what we're doing. We're French toast. Rachel would make good banana bread. Then we're French toasting it. And it was like, get the fuck out of here.
That's good. She do, I said egg wash. It's not just an egg wash. You know, you want to do good French toast, you can put a little cinnamon in there. You can put a little vanilla in there into the actual wash.
Yeah, I think she razzle-dazzles it a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Man, I'm fucking hungry, dude.
Yeah, me too. All I had was a sandwich.
Where are you going to be? What do you got coming up?
Where am I going to be? Chicago, baby. Opening for some bands at the Chop Shop. 24th and 25th. That's what I got going on. Awesome. And July. Shit, it's June 13th already. Can you believe that?
Yeah. That's crazy.
It's gloomy as fuck here. It's still like 55 and rainy.
Mm.
Speaking of indigenous peoples, speaking of the Cherokees, I saw, I think it was on TikTok, I don't know what indigenous person of what tribe or region, but they're clearly around the Pacific Northwest, and they're just like, all right, I think we went a little too nuts with the rain dance this year. Like, I get that we got forest fires and everything. This person was like, it's June. How about a little bit of summer already?
Yeah.
But July is my big month. I got Philadelphia Helium Comedy Club in Philadelphia, Louisville Comedy Club in Louisville, Comedy Attic, one of my favorites, Bloomington, Indiana. And then I'll be at a thing called Pickathon up here in Oregon.
Hell yeah.
A little bluegrass. I think Bluegrass Fest? I don't know. Just kind
of that's what it sounds like.
I think it's just a music festival.
Yeah, acoustic or bluegrass.
I think they got everything. I think it's one of those, again, just much like Cornbread Fest has branched out into death metal, I think Pickathon is really getting...
Hell yeah, buddy.
Experimental. It's an experimental music festival.
Mm-hmm. I like that. July 16th, I'll be in Bakersfield, California. July 18th, Apple Valley, California. I play all the big rooms. Looking ahead to August, myself and Ryan Singer going out on some dates together. Confirmed. Go Bananas, August 18th through the 21st. He's headlining that. I'm just middling. But... August 23rd, I'll be in Philly at Helium. We will, Ryan and I. And then the 24th, Helium in Buffalo. So looking forward to getting to...
All right.
I don't think I've ever done comedy in Philadelphia. I don't think I have. So yeah, it'd be my first
good town,
there.
Man.
I've been to Philly a few times for other stuff, but I don't think I've done stand-up there. So yeah, man, looking forward to it.
It's a good town. You're gonna. It reminds me of... Reminds me of Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
Just go. That was the one time I was there. I was on one side of the street, and this guy was just kind of hosing off. I don't know if he was like hosing off like floor mats from a kitchen or something on the other side of the street. And it's middle of the day, but I was working at the club, and I'm walking by. I go, hey, watch out. Guy vomited all over there. Puke all over the sidewalk. Watch your step. By the way, big fan. All right.
Big fan.
All right. Hell yeah.
He's looking out for you.
Watch out. Bunch of barf over on that side of the street. By the way, big fan. Okay.
That's the best.
Thanks, man.
That's great. What else? No Accounting for Taste. Where can we see that? Where can we?
It's on the internet. It's on all things comedy.
Right on. How's that going?
It's good, man. The episodes come out on Monday for us.
Monday.
So we got one coming out today about we're doing collector culture.
Okay.
People that collect things. Yeah. Right on. What about the old Stony Bees?
Stony Bees, Wednesdays when we feel like doing it. We've been a little bit inconsistent recently, but, you know, Katie's going through a lot. You know, lost her dad and doing all that stuff. So
yeah,
we're not as consistent as we would hope. But yeah, most Wednesdays you can find the Stonebergs. Where
more of a
podcast.
Yeah, checking in with the crew. What do you call your fan base on the Stonebergs?
I don't know. Haven't got to that. I don't know what you would call a Stoneberg fan. We have so many, so we need to.
They need defined.
Need to label them.
They need to be defined. They're just out here waiting to be defined.
Oh man, but yeah, it's real stupid. It's it's something like last week. I got into some like cop stuff. So Katie's always trying to pick at my how the cops does. She's obsessed with therapy and self help and all that. She's she's always trying to get under my brain with all that. So yeah, I open up a little bit on the Snowbergs. You see a softer, more gentle Dave. So
that's good. Well, again, this new Daiquiri Dave, West Hollywood Daiquiri Dave, man. I think we're all excited for it.
It's fun, man. I'm having a good time.
We've been here through the journey. We've been here through Street Justice Dave, through sort of had his own place for a little bit, Dave. But Daiquiri Dave, I'm enjoying Daiquiri Dave's.
Yeah, he's a fun guy. Yeah. You should see my hair. My hair's longer than it's ever been.
Really?
I'm trying to decide if I should get a haircut before Hawaii or if I should just keep this going. But yeah, I look like a retired cocaine dealer.
I mean, as a bald man, I feel if you got hair, you should be doing something with it.
I'm having fun with it.
Yeah, it upsets me to see like a grown man with a perfectly fine head of hair with just a conservative haircut.
Oh yeah,
squandered, fucking squandered.
Oh man.
Well, let's call it. It's Monday afternoon. I think I'm gonna go to the old gymnasium.
There you go.
Go lift a not very man. There's nothing more insulting than where I have to readjust the weight pin on the machines.
Yes.
Of like nobody was actually. I think somebody just put the pin down this many weights to make me feel bad.
I've seen guys do that, dude. For real.
Really?
I've seen guys get on the pulley thing, you know, the lat pull down or whatever, and they got 60 pounds going, and then as soon as they done, they throw it back down to 80 or 90, just so the next guy's like, oh, he was doing some pretty good weight there.
That's I've a seen real people thing? Fuck,
yes. What's fucking wrong with you that you would put forth that effort to do
okay.
that?
Okay. I do curls that are like attached. What do they call them? Preacher curls, where it's got the bar, like the mat in front of you. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. The platform.
And I'm weak as fuck, dude. Yeah, I think I do 25 pounds. I do 50 reps at 25 pounds, maybe 20, and I do 50 reps of like a chest press at the same weight.
Okay.
But I get on there, and the thing's like down at like. Like 120 pounds. What fucking, what did you do? One?
Yeah.
Or maybe I'm so weak that I'm just like when you're a little kid, like you could eat two whole sandwiches. Like, I mean, that's, yeah, no way. So maybe that's what it is. But anyway, I don't care. I love
good.
Looking like an old fucking weirdo at the gym.
Don't let your ego get in your way at the gym.
I don't have workout clothes. I just have stupid t-shirts and just like, yeah, to not care about that culture and also to not be in like, not be like a horny single dude. Mm-hmm. Just like, nope, I'm here to make myself feel better.
Yeah.
And then I'll let my old balls just slap out right in the sauna. I let him hang over the bench.
Oh man,
like a fucking grandfather clock.
Long ball, Kyle.
I did have an old joke about that's what it called, grandfather clock, because things hang like old balls. I forgot about it. The joke was bad. It was like one riffed weird drunk set. I'm like, this is the greatest joke I've ever written. Anyway, all right, let's close it out.
All right, buddy. Patreon.com/boogiemonster. $4 a month. Come on.
Get on board. Yeah, come on, man. You got 120 minutes of great content.
All right, buddy. We'll talk to you next week.
You betcha, man.
The Boogie Monster. Oh, Cap'n's Avenue, a podcast, a podcast network.